Welcome to Friends Congregational Church Sermons. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. No matter who you are and where you are in life's journey, you are welcome and you belong.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Clarissa.
We are introducing this week's sermon. I appreciate that Friends is an open and affirming congregation. Everyone truly is welcome. I am happy to see people from all walks of life worshiping here.
I appreciate the pastoral care provided by our pastors and lay leaders. I love that I get to serve in an inclusive environment and the feeling I get from the love that resonates throughout our church family. If you enjoy this podcast and would like to learn more about our ministries in College Station, Texas, take a look at our website at friends-ucc.org.
For this Easter Sunday, we reflect on a reading from John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18, with a message from our senior pastor, the Reverend Dr. Dan DeLeon.
Good morning. I'll be reading the Easter story from this thankfully unsigned Bible. A reading from the Gospel of John. Chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early in the morning of the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She ran to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." Peter and the other disciple left to go to the tomb. They were running together, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and was the first to arrive at the tomb. Bending down to take a look, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he didn't go in. Following him, Simon Peter entered the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there. He also saw the face cloth that had been on Jesus' head. It wasn't with the other clothes, but was folded up in its own place. Then the other disciple, the one who arrived at the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They didn't yet understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to the place where they were staying. Mary stood outside near the tomb, crying. As she cried, she bent down to look into the tomb. She saw two angels dressed in white, seated where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and one at the foot. The angels asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She replied, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him." As soon as she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you have carried him away, please tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Don't hold on to me, for I haven't yet gone up to my Father. Go to my brothers and sisters and tell them, I'm going up to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene left and announced to the disciples, "I've seen the Lord." Then she told them what he said to her. This is the word of God for the people of God.
God is still speaking. Thanks be to God.
Shall we pray together? God of resurrection miracles, of newness of life, we thank you for this day. And with thanks and praise, we come anew to your living word, praying that the meditations of our hearts and the words of my mouth will be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Early in the morning, on the first day of last week, while it was still dark, I thought to myself, it's Palm Sunday, and I don't remember the palm branches ever being delivered to the church. So I texted our staff. They hadn't seen them delivered either. Worship would begin soon. Children and youth would be waiting to hand palm branches to adults in the congregation so we could all wave them in the air in observance of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Without palm branches, there was no way this was going to happen. I had resigned myself to telling everyone to wave their palms in the air instead. But with the sun coming up, I ran next door to our neighbors at Peace Lutheran Church. The door to the sanctuary was open and a church member was there. I ran up to them, hat in hand, and asked them with what little breath I had left, do you have palm branches? And they looked at me and said, yes. I didn't even have to explain our predicament. They invited me to take however many palm branches we need for our 9 a.m. service and to come back for more if we needed for our 11 a.m. service. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Or as our siblings in the black church often say, God makes a way out of no way. That's our witness to the Easter story. God makes a way out of no way. It's our witness because it's Mary's witness. Mary goes to the tomb alone that morning while it's still dark. Professor of biblical preaching at Luther Seminary, Joy J. Moore, writes that darkness is not merely a time of day. It can also be the absence of light. And the absence of light would mean those times in our life when we feel that God is not present. Have you ever felt that way? That God is absent? Maybe that's why some of us are here right now. Well, imagine that Mary feels that way. And with that feeling, she goes to the tomb and stays there, even after she sees that it's empty, even after the two male disciples leave. She stays at the tomb and she cries as the sun is coming up. And as a result, she becomes the first witness to the resurrection of Jesus, the first to say, I have seen the Lord, the first to preach that good news to the world. A woman. Make note. God makes a way out of no way, yes. But the way is paved by those who give witness to the resurrection. The way is midwifed by resurrection people. People who go to the tomb while it's still shrouded in shadows, knowing that there's always light waiting to break through, new life crying to come out. I want to tell you a piece of my origin story. I've shared this with you before. When my dad was 25 and struggling to finish law school, his wife Elizabeth got sick and died suddenly. My dad was devastated. He holed himself up in the little duplex that Elizabeth and he were living in. For days, he refused to come out of there. You could say that duplex was a tomb. But Dad had a friend named Dan Davidson that he'd met when Dan was a regular customer at a barbecue restaurant Dad was working at a couple of years before that. Dan was 13 years my dad's senior and a civic leader, city manager. Point being, Dad was small potatoes to a guy like him. But when Dan Davidson heard about my dad's self-imposed exile, he went to the tomb alone. He was the only person who thought to visit my dad. He talked sense into him, pulled him out of his grief and abusing alcohol to cope with that grief, and ushered him back into the world of new beginnings, of new life, resurrection. A few months later, Dad called up a friend from grade school named Arlie. They started dating. A few months after that, they got married. And 9 months after their wedding day to the day, I was born. And guess who they named me after? I carry the name of a witness to resurrection. Now, that story is not about my dad. It's not about me. It's about Dan Davidson, an Easter person. An Easter person, someone who looks in the face of death and sees life, and who will stop at nothing to make a way for life to come out. That's what it means to be an Easter person, to see a way out of no way, to believe without proof, and to give more credence to a hopeful outcome than to any allegedly inevitable doomsday scenario. Let me ask you something. Do you believe that Christ is risen? Do you believe that your Redeemer liveth? Do you believe that God can make a way out of no way?
Yes.
I ask because last year on Easter Sunday when we were singing Christ the Lord has risen today, we had the words on the screens and there was a typo. Instead of death in vain forbids Christ rise, vain was missing an I and it read death in van forbids Christ rise. And this typo was terrifying for me because I am a Gen Xer and growing up we were scared to death of vans. We were told to stay away from vans and to run away from strangers driving vans and certainly not to accept any candy from somebody in a van. Death really was in vans for us. The only vans I wasn't afraid of when I was a kid were the vans at my church, the mystery machine, and the one that the A-team drove. I'm making a point here. Stay with me. We tend to give far more attention and validity and power to the things that scare us to death than we do to the things that promise us hope and new life. And if witnesses to the resurrection put more stock in death than in life, if we give more power to finality than to hope, the Easter story is unbelievable. The late Reverend Peter Gomes said that the evidence of Easter is a reconfigured Easter people who are no longer afraid of the dark, people who dare to live by their affections and not by their fears, people who know that they need not die in order to truly experience resurrection living, people who fear neither death nor life. In short, people such as you and me who aspire to be people like that. You hear that? And this, by not needing proof, we become proof of the resurrection. There's power in that. Power to transform this world one act of love at a time. You know, followers of Jesus have been trying to explain his death for centuries. And one explanation is that Jesus paid the price for our sins by dying in our place. It's called substitutionary atonement. Reverend Linda Noonan, pastor of St. Paul UCC in Exton, Pennsylvania, says that that idea isn't ancient. It wasn't part of Christianity for the first 1,000 years and isn't even in the Bible. She points out that the idea that God not only allowed but chose Jesus to die for our sins obscures the important fact that Jesus was killed, that he was crucified by the state for defying its authority and threatening it with a revolutionary movement. Noonan reminds us that Jesus rejected the oppressive ways the Roman authorities treated people because he taught that we are all made in the image of God. That was a threat to power then, and it's still a threat to power now. Jesus being killed publicly was Rome's way of saying, this is what happens when you challenge us. But resurrection says right back, and this is what happens when you try to place a period where God has placed a comma. None of us can make sense of Jesus' death, nor can we explain his resurrection with absolute certainty, not on this side of eternity, at least. But Reverend Noonan says, I do know this, that after Jesus died, he rose again in those who loved him. He rises every time we say yes to that of God within us, the God that says yes to us. As Peter Gomes says, we are the Easter people, for death no longer has control over us. We have a better idea. We claim a greater truth. We live because we are loved, and because we are loved, we can live. Today is also Transgender Day of Visibility. It's a day to celebrate the lives and contributions of trans people while also drawing attention to the poverty and discrimination and violence the trans community faces. You know, the last year, over 400 anti-LGBTQ bills were filed, and over half of them specifically targeted trans people, particularly youth. The 2 years before that saw massive increases in anti-trans legislation, too. Today, I see Transgender Day of Visibility as an Easter story, and I invite us to do the same for all our sakes. Our own associate pastor, Brooke Dooley, wrote an op-ed that appears in today's Houston Chronicle. You should check it out, share it. Here's a part of what it says. Easter is the story of someone who lived his life so audaciously that he fed, clothed, held, and made visible people who had been told they were unworthy of love. It's the story of how this person empowered people on the margins of society to recognize the importance of being seen and the solidarity that is felt in creating a world where everyone can live into the fullness of their authentic selves. To me, that sounds a lot like Transgender Day of Visibility, when we celebrate the triumphant existence of our trans siblings in the face of a vitriolic movement that has weaponized Christ's teachings to erase a community he would have loved. And Austin Hartke writes in his book, Transforming the Bible and the Lives of Transgender Christians, Jesus knew about people who fell outside the boundaries of sex and gender, and he did not see them as broken or as morally corrupt. He saw them as people with a variety of experiences and as people with something important to teach us about God's kingdom. Because we are loved, we can live. Because we are seen, we can rise. I was talking recently with a beloved member of our church family who's transgender about the cross and Lent and the message of suffering and how it gets elevated to the point of being justified in our minds. And they told me, we are being actively erased. We don't need to suffer. We need to be seen. I thought, yeah. Because when we see one another, when we see our neighbor living in the shadows of depression and despair, when we see our neighbors living in the man-made shroud of dehumanization that would call any human being illegal, when we see our neighbors living in the oppressive darkness of racism and white supremacy, of war and violence, of queer phobia and ableism, and seeing, we stop at nothing to pull one another out of those death-dealing tombs, then there's evidence that Christ is risen. Then there's confirmation that our Redeemer liveth. Then there's testimony that God makes a way out of no way, and there's proof that we have seen the Lord. I see the Lord in people in this church checking on each other, holding space for one another, praying with each other. I see the Lord in people volunteering at the Brazos Church Pantry and next door at Peace Lutheran to get food in the hands of our neighbors who don't have money to buy it. I see the Lord in people working behind the scenes to get repro kits to people who are unjustly shamed and made to be afraid for needing access to them. I see the Lord in people making meals for each other and visiting one another when a crisis happens. Hallelujah. I see the Lord in Sunday school teachers preparing lessons and showing up every week early to teach our children about Jesus and the love of God for all people. Hallelujah. I see the Lord in my queer siblings in Christ who've been beaten down by the church and told that they are going to hell because of who they are and who they love, yet they keep rising up and following Jesus back into the church to tell the whole body of Christ, I am God's beloved, in whom the Creator of all good things is well pleased, and you are too. And we are all destined for God's kingdom, and nothing about you made in the image of God can ever change that. Hallelujah. So, beloved community, I'm wondering this morning, how can we truly believe the mysterious story of Easter if we cannot see it in one another? When a pastor friend of mine was staying at a monastery, the Abbey of Gethsemane, one of the monks gave a talk that set my friend's heart on fire. Father Carlos said, "All the proof people need to know that God is love and Christ is risen is how we live our lives. You are all the proof they should need." I shared last Sunday that my 16-year-old daughter Ruthie and I went to South by Southwest in Austin a few weeks ago, and we found a convenience store that had bands in it playing death metal music. It was a surreal scene, walking into a convenience store with food on the shelves, and in the middle of the room was a three-piece band surrounded by a swath of onlookers dressed mostly in black, bobbing their heads up and down to music that was so loud you could barely understand it. Ruthie and I put in earplugs. I found a spot behind the drummer to get a closer look. One of his cymbals was an electric saw blade. The bassist was playing a five-string bass, so the lowest string was even lower than usual, and you could feel it reverberating in your chest. The crowd had these stoic looks on their faces, flashing that occasional frown you show when you're giving, you know, reluctant approval, like. Everybody kept their hands in their pockets. Nobody moved. But when I took a closer look in that dense swamp of death metal, I saw a little boy Couldn't have been more than 8 years old, wearing brightly colored headphones and a red and blue Spider-Man hoodie. And this kid has his eyes closed and a smile on his face, ear to ear. And he's dancing, like Sound of Music dancing all over the place. And he's brushing up against strangers. And when he touches them, they look down at him and they smile. And they take their hands out of their pockets and they applaud him. And then they look up at each other as if to say, are you seeing what I'm seeing? And what they see on each other's faces verifies that, yes, this is actually happening. This impossible burst of life in the form of a child superhero with headphones on is dancing among you and inviting you to take off your grave clothes and dance along with him. And seeing that kid move around with no fear in that space, that space that had enough sensory overload of sight and smell and sound enough to scare the most rebellious teenager, I thought, we give most of our energy to things that make us anxious and scared, and to things that make us feel like everything is caving in to the point that we believe we should give up, stop caring. But when we take a closer look in that mess, we see light. We see the Lord who invites us to join the dance, to rise up and let the world know that death has no power, that God is love, and that love is meant for everyone. Christ the Lord is risen today, not just 2,000 years ago. Today, Christ is risen. How is that possible? Look around you, Easter people. You are all the proof you need to know. Amen.
Enjoyed this week's message. I'm Trent Williams, Executive Pastor at Friends Church, and I'd like to welcome you to join us for worship if you're in the area of College Station, Texas, at 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. Central Time on Sundays. The 11 a.m. service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, Friends Congregational Church, UCC. Our mission is to be united by the example of Jesus, to live faithfully, love limitlessly, and serve boldly. If you would like to support us, we have a Venmo for easy donations of any amount, at FriendsUCC, no dashes, no spaces. To find out what's happening in the week ahead at Friends, visit our website, friends-ucc.org, and subscribe to our weekly newsletter by filling out the form at the bottom of the homepage. We will keep you up to date with programs to deepen your spirituality and opportunities to get involved with the church, and we will connect you to acts of service to the wider community. Our worship has ended, and now our service begins. Thank you for listening.